just want to, you know, on a somewhat personal note, of course, you left the Buffalo News, went to the New York Times, and you're now at the Washington Post. You know, are you living in Washington right now? Can you maybe give us a little information there? Yeah.
Sure. Yep. So I moved from Buffalo, which was my hometown, and I had been living there for many years. Had been the editor of the Buffalo News for 12 years, almost 13. And I did move to Manhattan when I took the job as public editor of the New York Times, and I lived there for nearly 4 years. Great experience, really enjoyed that tremendously. And then when I finished up at the Times and got this position at the Washington Post, I did move to Washington. So I am living in D.C. right now, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, very good. And you're media columnist, is that the title?
That's right, yes.
Now, I'm interested in talking a little bit about the presidential election, and specifically the relationship between Donald Trump and the media. You know, early in the primaries, he was bragging how ratings to the debates were going to be so high because people wanted to tune in to see him. It was just as if the media was his friend. And now, of course, in recent months, he complains that the media is the enemy. The media is crooked. What stands out for you in the relationship between Donald Trump and the media?
Well, it's a contradictory relationship in many ways because Donald Trump both, he does manipulate the media extremely effectively at times, and certainly did during the primary when cable news particularly was giving him just tremendous amounts of free exposure that someone, the New York Times actually calculated, would have amounted to nearly $2 billion worth of essentially, you know, free advertising, which is remarkable. And I think there's no question that it helped him a lot during the primary. More recently, I think the media outlets, TV included, but certainly the print and, you know, digital media, like, for example, BuzzFeed, Politico, and certainly the New York Times and the Washington Post have really written a lot of tough stories and done a lot of tough pieces on him. And he doesn't take that very well. He seems to think it should all be positive. And of course, at this point particularly, it just can't be.
You know, it highlights the changing landscape of media. It's almost very difficult to even really pin down where media is today. The technology is changing. The consumer habits are changing. But from your perspective, somebody who's sat at such a high level of management and now looks over the media landscape as a columnist for The Washington Post, any thoughts to the new journalist or a journalist, any journalist who's trying to make it in this changing landscape?
Well, one of the things that really stands out for me right now, Jay, is that the really worthwhile coverage has come from the so-called legacy organizations, which are, you know, essentially the newspapers. I mean, I hope I'm not biased too much in thinking that, and I don't think I am, in thinking that the Washington Post has done a really stellar job with this. And I think it's led the way. The Times has done good things too, and others. But you know, if I were a young journalist right now, there's no question, or someone who wanted to be a journalist, there's no question that there's tremendous good work to be done. What worries me is more the business model for the old style organizations, particularly on the local level, where, you know, the shrinking of newspaper staffs has really taken a toll on coverage. And while some of these digital-only outlets have really filled in the gaps on a national level, that's much harder to do on the local level. So in Buffalo, for example, you know, the Buffalo News is still a strong news organization. It still has a hefty staff and a lot of good people. And it's interesting that the Buffalo area does have Investigative Post, right, which was founded by Jim Heaney, who came out of the Buffalo News as an investigative reporter and started this organization up. So, you know, it's happening, but it still worries me when you look at the landscape all across the country. It's very troubling.
Any thoughts for the consumer then in that regard? You know, there's so many choices. of where to go for your news and information. Any thoughts about that?
Yes. I think it's really important to for news consumers, or we used to call them readers, and I still do, readers, listeners, viewers, to make a real effort to diversify what they're seeing and reading, and to try make a real effort to get outside the echo chamber of hearing and seeing things that are only what your friends and, you know, your family, people who agree with you, you know, all talking to each other, for example, possibly on Facebook, where you could go for days without seeing a dissenting point of view or a story that you don't like. So if you are, for example, a Clinton supporter, you might not be seeing all the, you know, the pent-up feeling and anger and strong support for Donald Trump that's happening in the rest of the country. So I think it's really important to try to make a real effort to not just stay, you know, with your own little sort of echo chamber or group that you're hearing over and over again.
Of course, you're coming back to Buffalo on October 19th. You're going to be featured at a gala dinner to benefit Investigative Post. Jim Heaney.
I am.
Yes, Jim Heaney, of course, founded Investigative Post, but he was one of your reporters at the Buffalo News. Can you describe him
yes.
as a reporter?
Well, you know, Jim and I have certainly had our ups and downs. I would not say that our relationship has been smooth, but I'm happy to be coming and supporting his effort. Jim is a real bulldog. He's a very aggressive reporter. He takes no prisoners, and you know, he wasn't, frankly, and he would be the first to agree with this, certainly not the easiest person to manage as an editor. So maybe it's easier now for me, now that I'm at the Washington Post and he's doing his own thing, for me to be on this great footing with him. But I respect his work very much, and I think that he's, you know, years ago, his work in on public housing, covering public housing in Buffalo, was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, which, believe me, is just, you might as well be a winner. It's very hard to be a finalist. You know, he's certainly an outstanding reporter, and now, you know, still doing reporting, but also has his own news organization. And I think that that fits him very well.
You somewhat touched upon this before, but I want to try to get into it just a little bit more, because you understand, as editor of the Buffalo News, you know Buffalo, you know the local economy, you know the pressures, the financial pressures that are on newspapers like the Buffalo News and any newspaper in a mid-market. Is in some ways, Investigative Post, are they perhaps maybe in some ways better equipped, or at least as well equipped as some mid-market newspapers, to allocate the resources needed for investigative journalism?
I think they do very different. They can do similar kinds of work, and they do. But I think that Investigative Post can, you know, take their four people or whatever they have and say, we're going to really dig into, you know, state contracts, for example, which they have done some of that, and, you know, go deep into it. The Buffalo News has to cover everything going on in Western New York. And so, you know, they certainly have some terrific reporters and some good, very, very good investigators. And they can take someone, you know, for example, a great reporter like Matt Spina, and spin him off for 6 months and say, this is, you know, we want you to look only at this. So I think it can be done at both places. And it's a good situation for Buffalo to be in, to have a number of different news organizations digging in.
And as somebody from Buffalo, you can appreciate the Buffalo penchant for when somebody goes out and makes a bigger name, perhaps in a bigger world than Buffalo, how we like to stay connected to that person. In your case, though, what about for you? Do you miss anything about Buffalo?
Oh, I mean, I'm in and out of Buffalo all the time. My brother and his family live there. My son actually is a young lawyer in Buffalo, and he will be at the dinner, proud to say. So I have many great friends. So I do miss it. When I come to Buffalo, I feel at home, and I really love it, and I do miss it. So the connection is extremely strong for me.
Margaret Sullivan is the former editor of the Buffalo News, now media columnist at the Washington Post. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Jay.